On this cold winter's day, glad to see you. All of you who could make it out in the frigid temps and get the ice off your windshield. Our car doors were frozen shut. I almost had to give up and go back in. I said, Matt, should we just get back in the bed? If the car doors are frozen shut, maybe we should just get back in the bed. But we got up and came home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I came because you know what? God's doing something. And you might think, God's doing something. I just hope he does something. I'm going to tell you, God done did something. You know, I'm so glad that today we don't just have to sit and talk about what God might do one day. I'm telling you, he did it all. When Jesus gave it all, God did it all. He's done gone and done it. Now he's waiting on you to go and do it. It's the truth. And I think a lot of times as believers, we get ourselves in a position where we're thinking, if God will do this, and if God, oh God, would you do that? And we're like waiting and holding on for our breakthrough. I'm going to tell you, Jesus done busted it. He broke it through. The Bible tells us that. Have y'all ever read the Bible? What else is there to do? He destroyed all the works of the enemy. He did. He did this already. And I think we live our lives, we're kind of in this place of like, you know, one day God's going to do something. He's going to release his power. The magic pixie dust from heaven is going to fall and something good may happen to you. But in reality, it has already happened. But we just don't realize it. We don't recognize it. And we sure don't live in the reality of it. But I'm going to tell you, this year we're going to live in the reality of what Jesus has already done. I imagine that God himself is just about fed up with waiting on us to get a revelation of what has already been done for us and who he's already created us to be. We already have within us God himself. He has come. He's taken on flesh when he came inside you. Christmas, we celebrate he took on flesh in Jesus, but I tell you, that wasn't the last time that he came in flesh. Every time someone calls on the name of the Lord, they're born again. The Holy Spirit himself comes within us with the purpose of inhabiting us and living out the life of Christ through these earthen vessels. That is the plan of God. But, you know, oftentimes as believers, we're just caught up in life. And if we can just get this taken care of, and I got this problem, and if I can just work through this thing over here, and Lord, have mercy, and if I could just get a little help with this thing going on. And, you know, every now and then we kind of just, you know, have a moment where we say to somebody, you know, have a nice day. Or maybe we pay for the people behind us in line at Starbucks or something, and we really did something. Glory! You know, I'm going to just rant a little bit. Matt let me have the mic, so might as well. Should have thought about it a couple of times more. You know, you see this, if you're on social media, it kind of goes around on social media, these in church where sometimes it started out by a church somewhere, they called a pizza delivery guy to come to the church to, you know, deliver pizzas. I don't know. They called him to the church. I think he thought he was coming to deliver pizzas. And then the church like took up an offering and gave him a great big tip of hundreds of dollars or a couple thousand dollars. Have y'all, anybody ever seen a video like this? A few people have. And if you've posted it, I'm not in any way, you know, if you've shared it, I'm not in any, I don't even know who did or who didn't. This is not on you. That's a wonderful thing. And this person, he comes in and they give him the tip and he just cries and it's all, because they're blessing him and everybody feels so good and they get a warm fuzzy and they go home and they think, boy, that was really awesome what we did today. We really blessed that person. We were benevolent, like what Matt read. Jesus went about doing good and being benevolent. God wants us to be benevolent. But have y'all ever read the Bible? Have y'all ever read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Have you ever read the book of Acts? Have you ever read what God's people did, what Jesus did, and then what he sent his followers out to do? I'm going to tell you, it was a lot more than giving somebody a good tip. That is not the pinnacle of Christianity. And if that's where we are, that Jesus died so we could give somebody a big tip, dear me. There's so much more available. And honestly, as the days go by, I think that we've been lulled into this little kind of idea of let's just be good people and let's just be nice and bless people as we can and say praise the Lord at the right time and try to make it to church if we can and, you know, try to keep our kids out of sin as much as possible. I tell you, if that's your goal with raising your kids, oh my Lord, they're headed for a lot of trouble. That can't be your goal, just try to keep them out of sin. Maybe that's all our problem. Maybe that's why we get into so much sin. We're just trying to enough just to stay out of it instead of fulfilling our God-given purpose and calling and being who He's made us to be. He has called each of us to represent Him on this earth, to look like Him, to walk like Him, to talk like Him, to be like Him. And I tell you, in modern Christianity, we've just abandoned that. But we're not going to abandon it in 2017. We're going to embrace it. And I don't know what you've had going. I don't know what's been happening with you too much. I know a lot of you had some troubles. You know, 2016 was kind of a rough year. Last week, Matt talked about let's just leave that behind. Let's start strong. Let's stay strong. Let's finish strong. For those of you who slept in, that was the message. Whatever. Y'all, there is so much more. Do y'all, isn't there more to being a believer? Isn't there more? Don't y'all know God's got more? I tell you, have you ever encountered a situation and you thought, you know what we need right here? We need the power of God. You ever been in a situation like that? Have you ever met with somebody or been with somebody or seen somebody and thought, you know what this person needs? This person needs transformation. You ever had that? You ever been in a circumstance and you look around and you just think, this ought not be. Am I the only one that ever feels like that? You just see that? I think, surely our God is bigger than this. Deep down inside you, don't you know that we serve the God, the Creator? Is He or is He not omnipotent? Is there or is there not power? Power in the name of Jesus. Am I just up here, you know, like puffing smoke? Isn't this like Bible Christianity? Isn't this what our heart really longs for? And I don't know, I think sometimes we think maybe one day God will flip a switch and finally something great will happen. But I'm going to tell you, God, He flipped the switch. 2,000 years ago, He flipped it. And we just had no expectation or very little, even us. That's, you know, that's Holy Spirit people. That's Word people. We haven't had the expectation that we should have. So I just want to kind of stir you up today. Let's increase our expectancy, because going into 2017, I'm telling you, I just sense it real big in here. God's about ready. He's about done with all that, and He's totally ready to do something. He's just looking down going, who can I show my power on your behalf? Who can I use? Who wants me to strengthen them with my might? Oh, who wants me to use my power as you release your authority and allow me? Who will dare call on me in faith? Does anybody believe this besides me? But I tell you, we got to be aware of that. We got to stir that up, and we got to get excited about who He's made us to be and quit waiting on something, you know, like when I feel it. You know, I wish I felt that way, Pastor Susie, I really do. I wish I felt like that. I don't feel very good. And I come over here to the church where all y'all are, and you know, I hear that hyped up stuff y'all do, and I don't know why I don't feel it. It ain't about what you feel, honey. The truth is, the word is the reality. And what we feel, it's not the reality. I mean, I have proof of that, because the way we feel changes so quick. Our feelings just woo, woo, woo. And some of us, you know, that's why we find it hard to live with you, but your feelings can really be. Am I right? Feelings come and they go. I mean, your feelings can change with whatever song comes on the radio. It's true. Well, maybe I should get into my message. That might be a better, thing to do. You know, you're capable in Christ of so much more than you've ever imagined, than has ever even entered into your little mind. There aren't special people that God's picked out and said, oh, you special one, and I'll do something great through you, but the rest of you, just take up an offering for the pizza man. But that one, oh, that special one I can use. But the rest of you, no. All of us have the potential in Christ to do great exploits. Jesus said in my Bible in Mark 16 that believers will lay hands on the sick and recovery will spring forth. He said that believers will cast out the devil. Not just a few people. He elevated every believer into his ministry. That's what Jesus did. And so you're capable of so much more than what you've seen, than what you've even thought. But what we do is we just limit ourselves. First of all, because we hardly see anybody doing anything that Jesus did. That's one reason. And then somebody that does, then in the body of Christ, we say, oh, that's a really special person. And we use that to, you know, take the heat off of anybody else from doing anything. We think if we can just, you know, that one person, God's using in a special way, but all the rest of us, you know. It's a lie from the enemy. That's a deception. But you have so much more in you. Now, I've had an experience in the last several months I'll just share with you a little bit. You know, I've never been very athletic. I got volunteers. I just never have been for a number of reasons. Although I have enough competition in me to beat the best of them. Very competitive, but just never had the athletic ability to match my competition. If we could ever get the athletic ability matched up with the competitive nature, I mean, Michael Phelps, look out. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just saying, I could do something. But I just never, and then when you don't consider yourself to have much ability, then you don't have very much confidence. Am I right? You just don't have a lot of confidence. And so one thing for me is I like to work out. I've worked out most of my life. Some of you are going, I don't think so, but you don't know. Come up and feel. There's muscles in here. Just have a little extra padding on my muscles so I can keep them, you know, good and protected. But anyway, so, you know, I'm 51 now and just kind of realizing I'm just going to need to make some extra effort to really be in shape for what God's wanting to do, use me for, and to travel a lot and different things. So At Labor Day, after we came back from Australia, Labor Day, we started working out with a trainer. And Corey Tiller, you better be watching, buddy. Done moved off to Atlanta, telling me he's going to be on live streaming. You better be watching. Okay. If he's not, all that was for vain. But anyway, and so we started working out with him. And you know, I'm just going to be honest with you. If somebody had walked into a service one day and said, I want everybody in here who can do push-ups, I want you to stand up. And James Thomas and John Tallman would jump up. And maybe, you know, a smattering of the rest of you. But I can tell you, I would be in my seat, holding on. Like, don't even try to get me to do them. And I've done some, you know, like up on my knees, kind of rocking back and forth, you know. I can do that. But I couldn't do a push-up. Not like a real one. I'm not talking about girl ones. I'm talking about real ones. Never in my life ever done one, ever. So I start working out with Corey. And he's trying to get us to do push-ups. And Matt's, like, actually doing them. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Look at you. But then Corey thought I should try them, too. So we start doing them, you know, like all, just about every time we're working out, we're doing them, you know. And one day he tells us to do them, and I'm down, and I'm getting in my usual position, and he goes, up on your toes. Well, I gave him a dirty look. And I'm like, okay, man. And I get up on my toes, and I, like, could do one or something. I was like, whoa, look at me. And then we went along here. One day we're working out, and in the course of my workout, I did, like, 60 push-ups. Now, I'm not saying my nose touched the floor and I went way back, but I'm just saying we got some movement here. Up and down, up and down, up and down. I mean, I could show you now, but I got on these heels. Up and down. I mean, then Matt's going, whoa! It's pretty amazing, right? I am capable of push-ups. So now when somebody walks in, I don't know why they'd ever do this, and they come up to the front and say, everybody in here can do push-ups, stand up, I'm going to jump right up. All these years, 51 years, I was capable of push-ups. I didn't do any push-ups. I thought I couldn't do them. In fact, I got mad when Corey suggested I could. But he knew I could. I didn't. But he did. And so today, let me be like Corey and tell you. There's a lot of things you thought you're not capable of that you're really capable of. Because it's in you. See, I have every muscle in my body required to do push-ups. I got the same ones in my body that John Tallman has. John, how many push-ups you do? John Tallman does 300. But I'm going to tell you, in this body are the same muscles that he has. The only difference between the ones in my body or the ones in your body and the ones in his, does anybody know? His are developed. He's built up his muscles. We just haven't bothered to build ours up. But the same muscles are there. And you know what? The same spiritual muscles that were in Christ Jesus, they're in you. The same spiritual muscles that were in Peter when he said to the man at the gate, beautiful. Well, he didn't say. He just lifted him up. And the man went walking and leaping and praising God. Those same spiritual muscles are in you. You just hadn't considered that and thought about it, meditated on it very much, and you hadn't developed it. But Peter spent a good bit of time developing his, building his up. Now, again, I don't know. I get up here and talk to you. I don't really know what it is you want out of life. Maybe you don't really know what's really in your heart. I think if the love of God is in your heart And it is, because the Holy Spirit's come down and He's poured it out in your heart. But I think the more that you yield to that love, the more that you look out in the world around you, and the more that you want to bring God's love, power, life, goodness into your world. You want to bring transformation. You want to really help. Not just sympathize, but help. You want to be able to make a lasting difference in somebody's life, like we see in the Bible. You want to bring freedom to people who are held captive. Am I right? Isn't there something in you that really want to make an impact in the world around you? Am I the only person here like that? No, I know you. You want to. And within you is the capacity to do that. All of us. A much bigger manifestation of God's power than we've ever seen. We're all capable of so much more. We just need to build up our muscles. So I want to talk to you for a little bit here about how we can build up our muscles. Now, in Galatians, Paul made a statement that I have to tell you as a minister, as a pastor, this statement's never, it's never far from my heart. And he said this in Galatians chapter 4, just this little phrase. Verse 19, he's writing, it says a letter he wrote to the church at Galatia. And he says, my little children, I love this, my little children. He's looking at these fresh converts, these people that have come into the kingdom under his influence, under his preaching and teaching. And he sees them like little children. And really, spiritually speaking, they are. They're little children. But this is what he said, my little children for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now he labored for them to be born again. He labored in prayer, he labored in teaching and in preaching and sharing. He labored for them to come into the kingdom. And that's what he speaks of, what he talks about their birth, coming into the kingdom, that they were born again. But it's not enough for you to be born again. Sure, it's awesome for you. But it's not enough for in God's plan and God's purposes just for us to be born again and to be Christians. And that we get to go to heaven when we die. And we get to experience some blessings here and there in our lives. And, you know, we have an emergency escape when we need it. And we have, you know, we can pull the emergency, you know, valve, and suddenly, you know, God comes on the scene and delivers us in a moment. I mean, that's all awesome, but that's just a little part of God's plan for us, y'all. He wants Christ to be formed in us. Because when Christ is formed in us, then we can walk around in this world being Jesus to our world. And that was his plan. The whole reason he ascended and went to the Father. Do y'all remember what he said when he left? In Acts chapter 1, right before he ascended, he said to him, look, I need you to wait in Jerusalem because something real important is going to happen. You're going to receive power. All this power you saw flow through me the last 3.5 years, this power is going to come on you. And then you are going to go out from here, all over the world. You're going to go out from here into your neighborhood, into this whole city and region, but way out from here, you're going to go and you're going to be my witnesses. And to be a witness means you got something to show. You got something to tell. You have some proof and some evidence. And see, that's his plan, is that we'd all go around and we'd show proof that God is real. Not because we know a scripture that we can quote to somebody, but because we can produce evidence that he is alive, he's real. People can experience him when they meet us. See, that's his plan for every one of us, for every believer. But so few believers ever embrace the real call of God. Christ being formed in us. Christ being formed in us. Boy, that's a great goal for you in 2017, that Christ would continue to be formed in you. That when we gather here a year from now, you can say, boy, I'm more like Jesus. I don't know how that happened. I didn't even know I was capable of it. But wow, look what he's done through me. Any of y'all interested in that? Christ being formed in us. That's the goal, man. Now, how does this work in our lives? How can we cooperate more? How can we, you know, you're saying, I've been coming to church a long time and should have happened by now. Well, today I want to give you something really practical that you can do that will really enable this process to continuing of you being conformed to his image, of Christ being formed in you. Something really practical that I found in my own life and that I can just prove out in the scriptures. Anybody want that? Anybody want something practical they can do? Or do you just want to get all, you know, puffed up and go home and think, dear Lord, how will that ever happen? You want something practical. I want to give you something practical. And so just stay with me for a minute. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Scripture says this. In the beginning, y'all ever heard this? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Let's stop right there. Says here, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, when we're born again, the Bible's plain. The Holy Spirit comes within us, so he's here. And we are actually recreated. Our spirit man, our outside looks the same, but our spirit man is recreated. When you are born again, you have the elements that are needed for you to manifest Jesus. They're all there. It's not like come up here so you can get something else because you need something else, because if only you something else could happen, then maybe you have a hope of being like Jesus. No, it's all there. But it's without form. It's the elements are there. But Paul prayed that Christ would be formed in us. Everything is here. It's not like we're looking for something else. You know, bring it on, God, do something else, do something else. No, he put it all in us. It's in you. Just like me, I had all the muscles I needed to do push-ups. But they were without form. I mean, nearly indetectable. But they were there. They just needed to take form. They were there, but they were void. They were useless. Not being put to use. Not being, you know, stretched. Not making me do a push-up. So that's how a lot of people, honestly, they get born again, but essentially, spiritually, they're without form and void. There's no real fruit. There's no real effectiveness. There's no power flowing. It's all there, but nothing's happening. But look what it says was going on. In the midst of all this, the Spirit of God was there. He was there, and he was hovering. And I'm going to tell you, inside of you right now, if you've been born again, Spirit of God is here, and he's hovering. And he sees all that's there, all those elements, all the essentials that's needed, and he's there, and he's hovering. He's hovering, and he's there. And then what do we see the next verse? The next verse says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And when God said that, it released the Holy Spirit to do something with what was there. To energize. to start bringing some form. And if you read then through the rest of the Genesis account, you see that he spent a lot of time just bringing form to what was there. You know, we talk about this as creation, but if you read about it, there was stuff there. He was just forming it and reforming it. I mean, even man's body, he made out of something that was there. He separated the waters, but they were there. There were things going on, but he was just bringing form to what was there. And I think, honestly, this is a lot of what our Christian walk should be, is the Holy Spirit working in us to bring some form to what God already did for us. But we're thinking, we can't do it. There's nothing here. And so we just sort of sit back and wait on him without recognizing it's all there. We just need to do, let him do his work in us, yield to him. We need something, him working in us. We need the one that's hovering to start doing his work. And it says in verse 3, it started with, let there be light, God saying something. Now you and me know the power of God's words. We know that. And you and me know that when we put God's words in our mouth and we speak them out, amazing things happen. So I would say the first thing here, in order for your life and your, you know, your, lack of a better word, your spirit to start taking some form and not being so void, would be for you to start speaking forth God's word. So you can take God's words and put them in your mouth. And how many of you know, as you've spoken God's words over your life, things have begun to change and to develop? Things have happened. So that's something. And I think that we've had a lot of teaching and understanding about that, and many of us practice that. We do that. That's one of the daily habits, big daily habits on the Essential 8, for those of y'all who went through Essential 8, is to speak God's word over your life. So I'm telling you, stay with that. Keep doing that. And if you haven't been doing it, do it. But I want to bring in something else that we're going to focus on here for a little bit. Because you and me know things about God's word. We come to church, or we read our Bibles, or we listen to messages, and we get light, and we start seeing things in God's word that's God's will for us. Matt talked about some of them during the offering. He wants your body well. You know what else? He wants you, not only for your body to be well, but he wants you to have the power to bring wellness to other bodies. He wants your needs to be met. He wants you to be provided for. And as we speak God's word about that, things start lining up. But I'm going to tell y'all something. If you don't know this, this might be news for you, but some of you know very well what I'm talking about. You having your needs supplied, having your body, you know, be well, having things go well with you, is really just a very small part of God's plan for you. It's really just the beginning. Because God's plan, really, what if Jesus' life was just about him being well, him being provided for, him having peace? I don't think we'd have four gospels about him. The gospels say very little about him being well, him having peace, him being provided for. Do the gospel? I mean, that's just a really small part of anything the Bible says, right? What's the emphasis in the Bible? Matt read in Acts 10:38. He wasn't famous, you know. The Bible doesn't say how God took care of Jesus of Nazareth and supplied his needs and kept him well. Is that what the Bible says? No, the emphasis is not on that. The emphasis is on how God used him to impact other people. Isn't that the emphasis? And even then, when you get in the book of Acts, it's not about God's people themselves being provided for, or God's people themselves just having. It's what God did through them to impact the world. The Bible says those people turn the world upside down. You don't turn the world upside down just because you have peace. There's something more going on. So while all those things are absolutely true, necessary, and part of God's plan for you, it's just a small part. Now, let's read a couple of other verses. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. A lot of things we could read today, but 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2 says this. It says, "For he who speaks in a tongue," talking about speaking in other tongues. Y'all remember on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came upon them? I just told you a moment ago what Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to empower you to be witnesses. That happened in Acts 1. Then in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit did come upon them. Y'all remember this? Anybody ever read Acts 2? Holy Spirit came upon them, and what happened? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Y'all remember this? Well, that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about these other tongues, these languages that were inspired by the Holy Spirit for normal people who were filled with God, that for them to speak. Languages that they don't know. The Bible says they're tongues of men. Maybe languages I don't know, but they exist. Maybe you know them, but I don't know them. Or languages even of angels, tongues of men and angels. The Bible says they're supernatural languages that you don't know, beyond your understanding. That's what he's talking about. "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Do you know there are mysteries? There are mysteries. There are mysteries in the Spirit. There are mysteries about you. I mean, we're sitting here, I'm looking at a section of mostly young people, really young people, now that I see Selma, very young people. There is so much about your life that's a mystery. But I'm going to tell you, not just you, but all of us, and all of us, and all of us, so much about your life is a mystery. So much of what God has made and intended for you to do, made for you to do. All this, it's a mystery. This word mystery is mysterious. It means a divine secret. It's a hidden truth. It's like a secret of God about you and about your life. And it says here that when we pray in a tongue, when we speak in other tongues or pray in the Spirit, however you want to say that, this experience that we have when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, as it talked about in Acts 1 and Acts 2, that when we pray that way, we are speaking forth these mysteries. See, I'm not quite sure. I have a general idea of how God wants to use me in my life. I have more of an idea now at 51 than I did at 30. You know, until I was 30, I did not even know that God wanted me to stand up in front of people and teach and preach. So the first 30 years of my life, that was a mystery to me. I didn't know it. But during those first 30 years, when I prayed in the Spirit, I was praying about days like this. I was praying out those secrets. I didn't have them in my mind where I could talk about them. I didn't have them in my mind where I could imagine them, dream about them, but I could pray about them. I could speak them forth. Just like when God said, "Light be," when I'm speaking in tongues, I am declaring God's words. And I'm speaking forth those mysteries out. Even though my mind doesn't know them or understand them, I'm declaring them and speaking them forth over my life or over whatever's going on around me, my circumstances. And I'm enabling my life to start to take shape around His plan and His purpose. See, if all I do is pray in English, which is my only known language, and if I spend all my time just praying in English, then all I can declare is what I know to declare. But all the mysteries, all the secrets, all the hidden truths, I can't say much about those because I don't know about them. They're mysteries to me. So I can't stand up and say, "Light be," about those things. The things I know, I can say it about, but the things that I don't know, I can't. But as I pray in the Spirit, I'm letting forth or bringing forth God's words through me, even though they're mysterious to me. He knows them because I'm not speaking to me. I'm speaking, not speaking to you, I'm speaking to Him. and I'm praying forth his mysteries. Now, how does that work in a practical way? Well, you know, you hear me up here ranting today, going on and on about how God wants to use you, and you're sitting there going, I'm not really sure how God wants to use me. I'm not sure he can. She's telling me I'm capable of doing these great exploits for God, but, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe them, but, you know, I'm just trying to make it here. But when you pray in the Spirit, you can pray about the things that God has for you to do in your life. Because God has appointments for you. He's got plans and purposes for you. He's got people for you to meet and you to impact. You don't know them, maybe. Some of them you do. But you don't know. You know, I think about in my own life. I grew up, had a family, extended family. Had an uncle. My uncle's name was Mitchell. My uncle Mitchell didn't know the Lord, even though he was raised around Christian people. He'd had a really bad experience in church when he was a young man and met up with a lot of good religious Christians, church folks, and they had really turned him off on anything to do with God. He sat one day and looked at his own father and said, well, I can tell you this, if being a Christian means being anything like you, I don't want to be a Christian. You know, there's a lot of people out there like that. They've never met a real Christian. They've only met religious Christians who try to condemn and, you know, shame people. Not what Jesus did. So, but I didn't know. I grew up around this man and knew him. I knew he told really funny stories, so I liked to be around him. But I also knew that he was far from God. And many of you have heard the story that through a series of events, one day he knocked on our front door, opened the door. This great big man fell in the door, grabbed Matt around the ankles, looked up at him with tears streaming down his face and said, Matt, you got to help me. You got to help me get saved. You got to lead me to God. I can tell you this, I would never have dreamed a moment like that would happen. I could never have fathomed that one day my Uncle Mitchell would fall in my front door and grab Matt around the ankles and beg him to help him get saved. It was a mystery, but it happened. And I think about all the time that I prayed in the Spirit, that Matt prayed in the Spirit. We were speaking forth mysteries. One day, and we didn't know it, we were praying about that, and it happened. Do you understand? Mysteries. God wants to use you to do marvelous things. But there, right now, you don't exactly know what they are. But you're praying for them, speaking them forth as you pray in other tongues, speaking forth these mysteries. Not in yourself, because you aren't capable of speaking it, because you don't know it. But God can inspire you by His Spirit as you speak. He gives you the words. And those of you who pray in tongues, you know, it's not you making the words. You give voice to it. It's your air that you breathe into your lungs, that you're releasing, that goes over your vocal cords, that comes up and comes over your, you know, teeth and tongue and lips, and somehow another sounds are made. That's your part. But the words themselves are God words. Just like light be, that was God's words. And those are God's words coming out of your mouth. And they're about things you don't know. But as you speak those things out into your life, things begin to take shape and get formed in your life. Things that you need to be start being formed. Ways, changes you need to make. Things that need to be developed, they start being developed. Just like when I'm doing those exercises, I don't really know what's going on in here. I don't know what's happening, but I'm telling you, my muscles are made to be built up. They're made to do work. And as I just start putting forth the energy that's needed and doing my part of moving, something happens. Development happens. And I'm going to tell you, as you pray in other tongues, development happens. Development happens. Let's look at another scripture. Well, wait. Let's keep reading right there. Verse 3. Y'all got verse 3? But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. But verse 4, but he who speaks in a tongue, still talking about that, other tongues, praying in the Spirit, edifies himself. Let's just stop right there. When you speak in a tongue, when you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. Now sometimes, and I understand this, when people first baptize in the Holy Spirit, they think, this is just gibberish. Has anybody else ever thought that? It's like gibberish. I tell you, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit as long as I can remember, and it still sounds like gibberish. I don't understand it. And I honestly, I think it's pretty silly. But when I'm doing it, even though my mind is not understanding it, it's real and something's happening. And this scripture says that I am edifying myself. Now, one meaning of the word edify is like to be charged up. To be charged up. I use the illustration, most of us have mobile phones, and most of us know what it's like when our mobile phone dies. And then we run around the house going, where's my charger? Where's my charger? So we can plug it in and charge it up. Am I right? So we can continue our addiction. And so there we are. That's what we do. We know how about charging up. So it's similar to that. When we're praying in tongues, it charges us up. A really good way I understand it is, if I'm going to speak to you, one of the best things I can do, other than have some knowledge of the Bible, is to pray in tongues, because it will charge me up. It'll charge me up. But I'm going to tell you, that's only a part of what it means to edify. The word edify comes from the same word that we get the word edifice. Not a word we use a lot. But an edifice is a building, a structure. And usually we don't use the word edifice for a shack. In fact, we don't use that word much because we don't really have many edifices around here. But an edifice is usually a notable, imposing, large structure. That's an edifice. If you've ever stood at the bottom of the Empire State Building and looked straight up, you have some idea of what an edifice is. Big, imposing. When we pray in tongues, when you speak in a tongue, you are constructing an edifice within you. There's something being built in you. The Holy Spirit, the one that's hovering over the face of the deep, that place that's without form and void, looking down, he began to construct an edifice. And he's doing the same thing in our lives as we speak in other tongues. He takes those elements that are there and he begins to put them together in such a way that it forms an edifice in our lives. Last week, Matt spoke about starting strong, staying strong, finishing strong. Do you know where strength comes from in our lives? From the Holy Spirit. Ephesians, Paul prayed that you would be strengthened with his mighty power in your inner man. There's a strengthening that builds up within you, that you're strong. Strong. There's a strength. It's this building he's making within you. So just think of it like this. You're born again. There's all this these elements that are within you, and there's this new nature and this new man that's in you. You're a new person, but you need to grow and be developed, and structure needs to come. You need to be formed into the image of Christ. That would be the edifice. And as you pray in other tongues, first of all, as you speak forth his word, that brings structure. But then as you begin to pray in the Spirit, the more complicated elements of the structure start coming into place. The mysterious parts, because he's a great architect. He's designed some amazing things for you in your life. And he starts bringing those things into place. And there you are, just babbling away in what you think is blah, 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 blah. But when it's the Holy Spirit and he's praying, he's bringing order and structure into your life. And he's changing and restructuring, and some parts of it are renovating, taking out the old and bringing in and forming something within you. And I tell you, if you have any, some of you in here, you know what I'm talking about. You know something is in you. There's something big in you. There's something strong in you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You've seen there's a strength in me. And it's not a strength that I see in everybody. Sometimes I'm with people and it startles me how weak they are, how afraid they are. And I'm not saying that because I'm superior in any way. I'm just saying something has been formed in me. That's why one reason when the scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. When you start speaking forth that, I am strong in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You're speaking of that inward working of the Holy Spirit in your life where He's given form and structure to you. You may seem kind of weak on the outside, but I mean, just like y'all look up here and think she can do push-ups. Hey, I might look pretty weak on the outside, but you can't really see my muscles. And I got them. And in that same way, we can't see what's inside of us. But there's something in us that He's building and forming and shaping. And I tell you, more important than anything that happens with these vessels is what's happening inside of us. That He's building something within us. But we have to give place to Him. We have to yield to Him. We have to cooperate. We have to show up and do the work. And in this case, he who prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The work in this is praying in the Spirit. Now, Jude had something to say about it, and I'll get to them. Jude chapter 1, it's the only chapter in Jude, so you can find it. Jude is right before Revelation. It says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up. Now, this is in the Amplified. Build yourselves up. Notice it doesn't say he's just going to build you. You build yourself up. You know, it would be great if when I hired a personal trainer, he could build me up. Come over here, Corey, and make me be able to do a push-up. Do me. But he didn't. I had to do something. And in the same way, we do something. He says, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. I love this. Make progress. How many of you want to make some progress this year? Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You want to make progress? Pray in the Holy Spirit. You want to rise like an edifice? Pray in the Spirit. You want Christ to be formed in you? Pray in the Spirit. You want divine secrets and mysteries to be spoken out over your life so that the Holy Spirit who's hovering over your life can bring those things to pass and bring them into being? Pray in the Spirit. For a lot of people, praying in the Spirit is just like, I do that when I'm scared. When I get a bad report, I know what to do. Pray in tongues. Sure, we all do that. But it's not your emergency get out of jail free card. It's so much more. We can speak forth God's plans and allow Him to build within us. It's a work of the Spirit. You can't build yourself. It's a work of His Spirit within us. And He brings structure and form and turns us into Jesus on the outside. Hallelujah. Praying in the Spirit. I'm going to stop right here. I got more, but I'll do that another time. We are starting 21 days of prayer. I don't know what you think we're going to be doing. I can tell you what we're not going to do. You're not going to come in the door and we're going to say, I want you to make a list of the 8 greatest needs in your life and pray about them. Not going to do it. I'm not going to say, gather up all the prayer requests of all your friends on social media, bring those in, and we're going to pray for them. Not going to do it. You know what we're going to do? Does anybody have any idea what we're going to do? We're going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to build some things over the next 21 days. We're going to build Christ in his image into you. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do my hickey moshandine so he can do it in me. The greatest desire that we have for you is that Christ would be formed in you. But I can't form him in you. Lord knows I've tried. But the Holy Spirit can. But you have to show up. Do your part. And as you do, he will do something spectacular. I mean, there will be an edifice that begins to rise and take shape in your life. Am I the only one that wants this? I mean, I really want this, and I'm getting where I want it more and more. Because I've just had enough of life on planet Earth under the curse. Just had enough of it. And you know, we've about got to the point where there's a lot of peace and joy in our own lives, but that's not enough for me. Because just about when I'm joyful in my own life, I encounter a tragedy in someone else's life, and that just kind of like, if I just want to live a life of peace and joy, I might as well go on to the other side. The reason for me to be here is for other people. Same thing for you. Hallelujah. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to do it at 6 o'clock every night this week, then next Saturday and Sunday at 9:30. So it'll be 9:30 before service. We do it on Saturday at 9:30 just so we can keep it all uniform so you can remember. So you're saying, you know, I'm not coming down there at 6 o'clock. I've been working all day. I'm not coming down there. You know, I'm not telling you you have to. I guarantee you no one's going to hand out gold stars to those that come. You're not going to get another jewel in your crown in heaven if you come. It's nothing about that. But I tell you, there's something about us getting together and praying together. Remember how the Bible says that one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight? There's something, there's a synergy that happens when we get together, even in the spirit. I think we can make even more progress as we pray together. So we're going to pray. You'll come in. There'll be music playing, and we'll be in here praying. There'll be a lot of, if you don't like hickey show mundayan, mundai, hickey show, hickey mo shundayan, you might not should come. But that's what we're going to do. And we're going to let Christ be formed in us. And, you know, just as a result of what we're going to do over these next 21 days, if we could just go ahead in time here to 21 days out here and see ourselves, see what Christ is doing, you know, the formation within us, the edifice we're building, we'd be like, whoa, man, we made some progress. And what I found is when I make progress in here, it flows over to out here. And I can also tell you that I've tried a lot to make some progress out here in vain.